Do you dread going to work because your office is filled with people who are rude and who treat you badly? Colleagues who steal the credit for your ideas, bosses who give you tight deadlines when you're already swamped. Well, if this sounds familiar, you're not alone. Our theme this hour is Hell is Other People, and one place that is increasingly true is the office. In one recent survey, 95% of respondents said America has a civility problem, and 70% think it's reached crisis proportions. Christine Porath is trying to do something about that. She is a professor at the McDonough School of Business at Georgetown University, and she's the author of Mastering Civility, a Manifesto for the Workplace. Her interest began with a personal experience.
I wasn't as much of a victim as much as a bystander. So after graduating from college, I thought I scored my dream job, and I worked for the largest sports management and marketing firm in the world. But once I took the job at their subsidiary, what I learned is that that particular group had a very toxic work environment. And so I saw how a narcissistic leader basically had such a negative effect on people. I saw that it not only affected the way that they did their work, they were getting even at the organization, they were taking it out on customers and clients, but I also felt really bad because people were taking it home with them. So it really was affecting people's quality of life and their mood in their personal lives as well.
What was so toxic? What was the supervisor doing?
Well, he would go off on people. So he would rant and rave, you know, began early in the morning in the gym even, you know, and he was unhappy that people were not playing his music. So it started very early, and he would demean the manager of the gym and yell at him in front of a whole group of people. And then from there, took it out on others. So he would make condescending remarks about people's performance, walking up and down the hall. It was quite rude most of the time. And so it was really pretty toxic because people picked up on that and took it out on others because it colored their moods and colored the way that they treated people throughout the day. You saw people had a little bit more edge to them after experiencing that.
Well, I guess it just goes to show all it takes is one jerk to ruin a whole workplace. So what did you do?
It set me on a path to go back to school and study what are the effects of this, because I felt like, why weren't people paying more attention to this? It was such a reputable organization that owned this place, and I was surprised at how managers with the group were ignoring this behavior. So I felt like it was important to try to show in as objective a way as possible, what are the costs of this? Because even though I was very young and naive, I felt like it seemed that we should be doing business differently, you know, that we could do better. And particularly, it was a little depressing at that point to think about spending so much of our lives in workplaces where people were mistreated. And I think part of it was also not only my experience, but my dad had worked for very uncivil bosses over the years. And he was pretty good about not complaining about it. But I think that we felt it over the years. He actually ended up having a heart attack scare. And so it wasn't until years after that that we discussed it. But you know, I saw what it could do to people over time, literally eat away at their health and well-being. And so while at the time I thought maybe that was just an outlier, maybe that didn't happen to many people, I think once I started working, I saw that it was much more prevalent than I would have anticipated. So I wanted to try to do something about it. And my whole goal has been try to create more positive workplaces where people thrive.
What are the negative impacts incivility have in the workplace? I know you said you studied it, so by now there are probably some statistics, you know, some numbers you can put to this.
Yeah, well, I think people certainly, the vast majority of people do not work as hard. They spend time worrying about the incident. 12% actually leave their job because of being treated rudely, which is extremely costly to organizations. But what I found in experiments is when people experience rudeness or even just witness it, they are far less likely to perform well. So their performance goes down by over 35% on cognitive tasks.
How do you begin to figure this out?
It's interesting. We actually compare students that experience or witness being treated rudely as compared to those that do not experience that. So you try to control the conditions other than that. So they may hear a condescending remark, or they may hear someone in the group treated negatively. And how does it affect them? So we'll put them through cognitive tasks. One of them is a word jumble, an anagram solving task. Another experiment that we do is we give them a brainstorming task where they come up with as many ideas for what to do with a brick as possible. So not only do we, you know, measure performance and creativity, but we also capture things like what kind of ideas do they come up with. And so one of the beauties of that task is folks that are exposed to rudeness, even if they don't experience it themselves, they come up with ideas like they want to sink a body in a river, they want to smash the experimenter's face, they want to torture someone, murder someone. So we see that it actually primes people for a lot of dysfunctional and aggressive responses, even though they may not have been the one that experienced it.
So that suggests that rudeness in the workplace is actually infectious.
It is. And again, I think it takes a hidden toll on people and can lead to dysfunctional responses. So you don't want this happening because it can lead to a lot of negativity. And I think you hit the nail on the head with the idea that it's just contagious. It spreads and people see it and they start role modeling the behavior, particularly if it comes from a leader or someone of higher power and status.
How do you suggest people even begin to figure out if they're practicing uncivil behavior at work?
So I have a civility test, a self-assessment online at christineporath.com. It's also in the book. And basically, there's 32 different behaviors that I ask people to think about. How likely are they to do these things on a regular basis? And so the whole idea of the test, the online version, gives you customized feedback about what are some behaviors that you could do that would help improve areas? We all have some weaknesses. So what should you focus on and what could you do specifically to improve? That's probably the best thing, is to think about specifics.
Mm. What are the kinds of questions you ask in that test?
Are you acknowledging people? Are you saying please and thank you? Do you use email when face-to-face communication is needed? Do you take too much credit for collaborative work? Do you email or text during meetings? Do you talk down to others? Do you delay access or information? Do you spread rumors? Do you belittle others nonverbally, like roll your eyes or smirk?
And I'm guessing it's not a yes or no. You know, we're all, to a certain extent, somewhere on this sliding scale. I mean, a lot of these are behaviors we've all engaged in.
Absolutely. So, you know, I have them on a scale from never to almost always. And so for a lot of these, it might be sometimes, but there are probably some more than others that you know and have received feedback about that you're guilty of.
So tell me about one company that has really gotten it right, that's really addressed this issue of civility in the workplace and established a new kind of model.
So one of the law firms that I worked with actually came in, you know, we spent a couple hours talking about what are the consequences of rudeness and what could they be doing differently. But it was a quick exercise, actually, where we had them do breakout groups. It was mixed groups, all different folks from, you know, administrative assistants on up to the managing partners. And they literally focused on who do they want to be. So what did they want their norms to be for the office? And in a matter of a couple hours or less, they decided on 10 different norms that they wanted to consistently hold people to, as far as treating people right, being on time, things like that. And what they found is that within a year or 2 years, that they had actually won Best Place to Work in Orange County. So for a law firm that oftentimes we think of those places as having pretty tough and somewhat abrasive cultures, that they, you know, were not only living these behaviors, but holding people to them. And the nice part about that is once they committed to it, they were very comfortable calling people out when they didn't show up and treat people right.
Christine Porath is the author of Mastering Civility, a manifesto for the workplace. And if you want to take her online quiz and test your own civility, it's on our website at ttbook.org.